Amen. Well, thank you all, everyone that helped lead us in worship. That was a great time in the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just bless you this morning, Lord. We bless you over your body, over your blood, over your covenant with your people, Lord. We pray that each one of us would draw into you more, Lord, understanding all that you've done for us, Father, receiving revelation of what you've done for us and walking in those things, Father. Lord, I pray that each one of us, men, women, and children, Lord, that have heard your voice, that have responded, would be used evermore, Lord, to see others drawn into your kingdom, delivered from the enemy, delivered from self, delivered from the system of this world, Lord. And we bless you over our own salvations this morning, Lord, that you've given unto us, Lord, when you called us into your goodness. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, as I already mentioned a moment ago, I've set aside the notes for any sermon this morning. I ran across some notes that I believe had belonged to Steve. I'm going to say that's who wrote these. But as this morning is our time to take communion together, I thought it would be good to go over seven principles of covenant and what it means to walk in relationship and covenant with God and with each other. And so what I'm going to ask, I know that this might be a little bit difficult. If you're holding a child, that's okay. Go ahead and bring them up here. But I'm going to ask the men, Eric, Andrew, Dustin, Michael, Craig, Aaron, and you. You can just kind of discard your headphones for the moment. We'll just trust that it keeps recording. I'm going to ask each one of y'all to come up here if you would. Row. I hope none of y'all resent me. I'm going to ask each one of you to read something. Is that okay? Okay. All right. So anyone listening that's not a part of our body, that's not here this morning, as I mentioned, this is the first Sunday of the month we take communion. And part of what we like to express, part of what we've been doing is we've been having different members of the body share their testimony, just to highlight the fact that we are the church together, right? It's the people of God that have been called together in a local area. Obviously, it's even beyond that. There's a universal church, the church that exists throughout all time and all places. But we've been called together during this season and this time, and we're working out this thing called salvation together, ministering one to another, communicating into each other's lives. And I hope that whoever's listening, that you have that going for you in your life where you are, that we've been called to work this thing out together and not alone. And that's part of the reason I called these men up here, was just to express that we are in this together. So again, we're going to read this morning, and this won't take very long, but seven principles of covenant, what it means to walk through this thing together. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 through 25 before we begin. And it says this, Paul speaking says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, which when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament, or covenant, in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." So this morning, when we talk about the New Testament, when we talk about the New Covenant, we're talking about being not only in covenant with God, but it means that we are in covenant with one another. Why are these principles so important? Because God wants to move us forward as one body. No man left behind, if you would. He wants to move his people forward together. So I'm just going to ask each one of these seven men to read one of these seven principles, and we'll just start here with Craig. I ask you to come up with me, kind of share this microphone so that it gets captured, but you're just going to read number one and its subpoints.
Okay.
So there you go.
All right. "I belong to you, and you belong to me," Romans 12:5. "So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. You don't belong to an institution called church. You belong to a body of people that are the church. You cannot choose who you belong to. You don't just belong to who you find it easy to get along with. This is the death blow to any thoughts of independence. We must be available to each other.
Okay, so that may not seem that profound to some of you, but that would make a lot of people uncomfortable. Again, principle number one, I belong to you and you belong to me. And this hurts, but under that, we recognize that if I belong to you and you belong to me, then any thoughts of independence have been shattered. Any thoughts of independence have been shattered. I'm no longer just my own. Just as when I chose to get married, I'm no longer my own. I have someone that I now serve, just as I would serve myself. When I entered into covenant with Christ, I obligated myself to serve y'all and y'all to serve me. We belong to each other. Michael?
Sir.
Number two.
I love you, and I am willing for you to love me. 1 John 4:16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. We are called to love one another. We are not called to love one another on the basis of emotion. Agape love is expressed in giving, in what we are able to do for one another. I am here for you. I'm not here for me. In loving for you, in living for you, I will be blessed. You cannot live for God if you are not really living for others. And we must be humble enough to receive from God through others.
Again, just to repeat, principle number two, I love you, and I am willing for you to love me. And we won't go over all the sub-points, but the last one again, that each one of us has to be humble enough to receive from God through others. Part of being the church, so often we wait for a direct word from the Lord when so often he chooses to speak through other members of the body. And if we can join that with principle number one, that means even the ones that we don't immediately get along with, meaning we need to be humble enough to receive from whomever the Lord chooses to speak to us through. Number three, I'm going to ask Andrew to come up here.
I will provide for you when I am able and will not withhold what I can do to bless you. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 17, but whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? We express love by giving what we have to others. Nothing we have is our own. What is in my possession is not mine. It has been entrusted to me by God to use in the way that he wants.
Thank you. And as obviously all of these principles fit together, but this one fits really nicely and dovetails off point two, that I love you and I'm willing for you to love me. Well, an expression of that love is, as Andrew just read, I will provide for you when I am able, and will not withhold what I can do to bless you. We express love by giving what we have to others. The emphasis there being what we have. You can't give anyone what you don't have. No one's asking you to give what you don't have. God's only asking you to give what he's entrusted to you. That can be money. That can be help. That can be your time. That can be any number of things that God has given you that you're then able to bless and help others with. But you can't give them what you don't have. If you don't have time, you don't have time. If you don't have the money, you don't have the money. He's not asking you to give what you don't have. He's asking you to give what you do have. And we've all been called to give. Eric, you want to do number four?
I will defend you against any who speak or act against you and refuse to speak negatively of you myself. Nothing can create tension and division more quickly than accusation. Judgment, gossip, and negative things being said about people within fellowship. Never speak against a covenant brother or sister. Refuse to listen to negative things said about a covenant brother or sister. If you listen, you become party to it. To fail to defend a covenant brother or sister amounts to breaking covenant. To speak against leadership is rebellion in the eyes of the Lord. To speak against your brother or sister is division, separation between people. Rebellion and division weaken the whole church. Spiritual leaders are not being judgmental or critical when they address issues in your life.
So again, just to reemphasize, number four, I will defend you against any who speak or act against you and will refuse to speak negatively of you myself. Now, if I were to be honest, I cannot say that I'm without sin in this, that I've never spoken negatively of someone in my life. For that, I repent. I ask forgiveness. And perhaps even if I've done it ignorantly, without knowledge, I ask forgiveness of that as well. And I would just ask that you ask for forgiveness if you've ever been guilty of that. Any of us that have been in Christ and in church long enough have experienced this. You've probably experienced the ramifications of this. There's a right way to do everything, and we want to do it all to the glory and honor of Jesus. Number five, Dustin.
I will honor you and will obey those who are over me in the Lord. To honor is to esteem highly. You can respect someone, yet still be critical of them. If you honor someone, then you will not criticize them. When we honor others, we honor the Lord. Honor is not just an attitude. Actions are required. To be honored requires humility. How are you honoring those in leadership? How are you honoring others? Look for ways to honor one another. Acts of honor are indications of love.
I will honor you and will obey those who are over me in the Lord. That's for me. That's for you. And when we do this, we honor the head, which is Jesus. Number six, Daniel.
I will be faithful to you, and I will not treat my covenant responsibilities lightly. God is always faithful to fulfill his covenant promises to his people. God calls us to be faithful in our covenant relationship with him and in our relationships with one another. What does it mean to God if we say we love him, but fail to love and serve one another?
Again, I'll be faithful to you and will not treat my covenant responsibilities lightly. And number seven. Oh, he's got ahead of the curve there.
I will forgive you. I will not let any failure on your part hinder our relationship. If I fail in my love for you, I shall be quick to ask for your forgiveness. We are to be merciful, even as he is merciful. When others offend us, we must go to them. We must go to them to sort it out. Do not take it to others. When we offend others, we must go to seek their forgiveness and make things right.
Thank you. Again, I will forgive you, and I hope that if I fail you, you will forgive me. We've done a message here before. So much of this focuses on, or at least the last few, on our part in not contributing to ungodly division. There's a time that the scriptures tell us to depart from someone who is a brother or a sister when they live ungodly and are unwilling to repent, or someone who is divisive and argumentative. But in every other way, we are to fight tooth and nail to hold together that which Christ has brought together. That we are to shield the unity of the faith that has been given us, to fight for the unity that Christ gave his life for. Just some other notes. When these principles are violated, when we violate any one of these principles or we break them, a lot of damage can occur in the body of Christ. Our enemy loves to encourage people to violate these principles. He will appeal to the flesh for us to do the opposite of what God does by appealing to our spirit. So God appeals to your spirit, the truth of his word. The enemy appeals to your flesh. God's love is practical. God's love is practical. We want to seek, as Paul encouraged us to, we want to covet the gifts of the Spirit in order that we might build those up around us. But at the same time, we don't want to neglect just practical ways in which we can express love to one another. What do you do when you have difficulty with someone? Make a commitment to pray for them daily. We've talked about the Psalms this morning. What do we see David crying out about his enemies when they sought to harm him? Through bitter tears, he had prayed for them. He had lifted them up before the Lord, and yet there they were trying to harm him. I would to God that we could all be so innocent when it came to conflict amongst brothers and sisters, that we could say with purity before God, all I had done was lifted them up in prayer, and yet they were for my hurt. I don't say any of these things because I sense any of these things going on amongst us right now. I just want to encourage you about the seriousness of how we're to take God's commands to love one another, to fight for one another, to defend one another, to care for one another, to protect one another, to protect against ungodly division. When you have a thought from the enemy, someone does something that rubs you, rather than letting that blister fester in the flesh, put it down. Be ready to forgive them immediately. And if it's really an issue, go to them and try to work it out, rather than letting something set and begin to fester in your person that's going to come out later and cause great damage. Go to them. And let me ask you this. I know that sometimes it can be daunting to approach people when you feel that there's conflict. But I ask you this. How big is your God? How big is your God? How big is your God? If he can save you, if he can change you, aren't we to hold out hope that he can change those around us? I mean, can't he? Isn't that how he works? That even if I'm nervous that Andrew's going to be offended at the onset, which there's a good possibility he would be. Anybody here ever just receive correction just really joyfully? No, it doesn't happen very often. But if the Spirit of God is in you, I have found in myself that even though the first response that I usually have is for my flesh just to bristle a little bit, it's trying to protect itself, isn't it? But when truth comes across and my spirit recognizes it, truth, my spirit takes lead and says, flesh, put yourself down and listen to what this brother's trying to tell you because it's true. And we want to approach all situations towards each other in that way. Why? Because of what we're fixing to remember. The one who paid the price for all of this to be possible. The one that paid the price for us to be in relationship, to be a part of a new kingdom. And that's our Savior who gave his body and his blood to be broken for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just bless you over the men, the women, the children here this morning, Lord. We thank you for the covenant that you'd offered in Christ Jesus, Lord. And we hold these things to be true, Lord. And by your grace, we will walk in them and fulfill them, Lord. I have great hope and expectation for every man, woman, and child here, Lord, that we'll not be covenant breakers, but we'll be those that by your grace that uphold these things, Father. And I bless you over it, and I bless you over them. I pray that you bless them today in their walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen. At this, Daniel, if you want to go cut that, ask Dustin if you don't mind going and grabbing, if somebody might accompany Dustin. And just to let y'all know, as they go and get the things ready for communion, I meant to pass these out, but if